Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. Thanks for joining us. How do you learn about something you can't see? How do you get to know someone when they're not around? People have asked the same question about God. How do you get to know God when you can't see him? Tonight, Dr. Corbett answers that question as he continues to look at the life and times of Moses. Let's join Dr. Corbett now for the fourth in this series of discussions on Moses. His question, what's God like?
Let's pray. Father, the message of your word is you. And Lord, today we want to discover you perhaps in ways that we've not yet done. I pray, Lord, that we'll get this and we'll get it right and that, Lord, you'll help us to know you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start at the end, shall we? Let me start with my conclusion. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. This is kind of where I want to finish up, but I'll start here and then we'll come back to it in a moment. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 3. And here's the question I want to answer today. I pose this question. What's God like? How can you know him? What is God like? Who is he? And how can you know him? And here is the answer. I'm going to give you the conclusion straight up. Then we'll go back and we'll have a look at a bit of the history of this. It says in reference to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. He, that is Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the next verse says, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is much more excellent than theirs. Who is God? The Bible says, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He is the exact expression of God. The exact expression of God. Some people say, you know, we can find God, we can meet God, we can discover God if you go for a walk out in the bush. You know, when we get in touch with nature, we can really learn who God is. The Bible says, it's Jesus. The Bible says if you really, really know God, you get to know Jesus. Look at Jesus. He is the exact expression of God. Now, what is your concept of God? Who is your God? This is no small question. This question not only changes your life, it changes your eternity. There was once a prisoner in England back in the late 1800s, one of the last men in England to be hanged. And as he was being led to the gallows, there was an Anglican chaplain there who was reading from the scripture, and he was reading some passage where Jesus spoke of eternal destruction in the flames of hell. I'm not quite sure why he was reading that to a man about to go to the gallows, but that's what he was reading. And this man, I forget his last name, but his first name was Charlie. Charlie, the man convicted of murder, about to be hanged, turned to the chaplain and said, just stop, wait there a minute. Do you believe what you're reading? Do you believe there is an eternal hell? Do you believe that? And the chaplain was sort of, you know, put on the spot for the moment. He said, well, yeah, I do. And this guy said, if I believed that, I'd be shouting that from the rooftops. I'd be telling everybody. I wouldn't be holding back. If you really believed that, people like me wouldn't be going where I'm about to go. You would do everything you could to avert that. You obviously don't believe it, said the convicted murderer minutes before his death. He went on and he said, if I believed that, if I believed what you're reading to me, I would walk over broken glass from one side of England to the other just for the possibility of telling somebody so that their eternity could be changed. That's how much I'd believe it, said the hardened criminal, Charlie, moments before his death. I'm reminded of a gathering of pastors a few years ago. Each of these pastors were selected because they part of the elite group in Australia that pastor churches of over 500 people, and they gathered to hear an unusual choice of guest speaker. This guest speaker was an atheist, perhaps one of Australia's most avid atheists, one of the most vocal protagonists, enemies of the church. His name's Philip Adams. And Philip Adams said something very similar to these men. It was a very short address, but this is simply what he said to this group of Christian pastors. He said, "If I believed what you say you believed, I'd shout it from the rooftops. There wouldn't be a person where I wouldn't bring it up in conversation with. There wouldn't be a life that I didn't come in contact with that somehow I didn't get that message across to them. If I believe what you say you believed. If you say that you believe you have the answer to eternal life, I'd want to let everyone know. And I wouldn't care what anyone said of me in the process of me letting them know." That's what the atheist said. Then he stood down and left the building. What an indictment. You see, it really comes down to this. Who is God? Who is God to you? Do you really know him? Man, I'm challenged by this. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You see, we're reading in Hebrews. I've brought up my conclusion right at the end. How can we know God? By looking at Jesus Christ. How can we really know God? By looking straight into the face of Jesus Christ. How can we know what God is like? By listening to Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said. Have a listen to what he said. Listen to him. You'll hear the voice of God. You'll see God. In John chapter 1, we've got this amazing statement. It says, reading from verse 14, it says this, "But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That Word is God. The Word, oh, how do we know that, by the way? John 1:1 says, "And the Word was God." End of verse 1 of John 1. So the Word became flesh. The Word is Jesus. He became one of us. He became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this is, you know, part of the audience of this statement here are Hebrews, Israelites, Jews. They're hearing this and they're going, "Well, wait a minute. Well, what are you saying Jesus is the way to know God?" No, the way to know God is through Moses. Moses showed us who God was. So listen to what John goes on to say. Verse 15, "John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.'" That's kind of flowery talk for saying, this is what John the Baptist is saying, the one who's coming, the one who's about to come, he's always lived, he's always existed. He was before me. He goes on, verse 16, "And from his fullness we have received," this is a powerful word, powerful expression, "grace upon grace." Verse 17, "For the law was given through" who? Come on, the law was given through Moses. "Grace and truth came through" who? Jesus Christ. Now, some could say, well, Moses didn't really present God, Jesus did. And that's not what this is saying at all. This is saying God was presented to us through Moses. There's an aspect of God that is kind of tough. I'm trying to find a better word, but there's an aspect of God when what he says, he means. You know, I heard a preacher this week say that it's the role of Christian fathers in particular to teach their children just by the way they live. When you roll around on the floor with them, when you hug them, when you play bulldozer heads with seven-month-old babies like I did this morning, when fathers frolic with their children, children are getting a message. This is what God is like. God is my daddy. God is just loves me like a daddy. And this same preacher went on to say, and when children step over the line, when they break the rules, daddy should get ticked. Daddy should be angry. Daddy should let them know it matters. Daddy should let them know because that's what God's like. You know, it's possible to really, really get angry with someone you love. And every wife said, oh, I see what's going on here. Me? Angry with my husband? My perfect husband? Not the wives of this church. All right, let me try that again. It's possible to be really angry with someone you love. And every wife said, I could try it with the husbands, but we might vibrate the roof. It is. It's possible to get angry with someone you love. It is. Is it possible for God to love us and also be angry with something we've done? It is, isn't it? When the law is broken, there's anger. The Bible says, law, verse 17, law came through Moses, but grace and truth. The truth of the matter is, that's not all God is. That's the truth. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Every father needs to impress upon their children that God is someone who loves them, enjoys them, wants to play with them, wants to frolic with them, wants to spend time with them, wants to hang out with them, wants to go for, you know, just times with them. But when they step over the line, these kids need to know, oh boy, Dad's not going to be happy. Because that's kind of how God is. Just because Dad isn't happy doesn't mean Dad doesn't love. Now, I know there are some people who've only got one aspect of that picture, the picture of an ugly dad, the picture of a dad who's always on their case and never the other side of it. And that's not a fair representation of God. And I'm sorry if that's your understanding of fatherhood, because it's not right. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Now we're going back where I wanted to start it. Now that we've had the conclusion, let's go to the start of the message. Exodus chapter 3. We're looking at Moses, and I find this intriguing. I've just been pondering this, and I can't get out of this, because the more I think about this, the more I see in this. We've been looking at Exodus 4:2 and all that surrounds it. We've been looking at the fact that Moses was a broken man. We've seen that Moses was somebody who, in the natural, had everything going for him. But he made a mistake. He did something he shouldn't have done, and it cost him dearly. And because of that, he was out in the wilderness looking after sheep for what is now, at this time, 40 years. And life doesn't look so good anymore. And as I think about Moses, every morning, pretty much the same thing. Wake up, look after sheep. Go to sleep, wake up, look after sheep. Go to sleep, wake up, look after sheep. 40 years of that. His life was routine. His life was mundane. His life was in a rut. And for some people, their lives are so in a rut, they have no concept that God wants anything to do with them. And that's tragic. We know that Moses had this niggling thought, where's God? Where's God? We saw that Moses one day led the sheep toward a mountain that had a reputation as a mountain where we men met with God. Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. That's an amazing statement that we read in Exodus 3. And so Moses moved toward that place where he thought he could meet with God. You know, that's why some people come to church. Do you realize that? And increasingly, we're going to see that. People come to church just on the off chance it's in church they might meet with God. And you know what the most tragic thing would be to me? Is if I hear somebody say, you know, I came to your church and I just couldn't see anyone seeking God, didn't feel the presence of God, didn't even have an opportunity to seek God. Oh, man. I hope I never hear that. I really do. I hope that in our worship there's times when you can just leave this dimension and just move into that dimension where you're just worshipping God and seeking God. I hope that during the preaching of the word, it's not a lecture. Jesus turned to Peter and said, do you want to stop following me? And he said, who can we go to who has words of life? And really, that's what I hope we're doing here, imparting life. And so we find Moses in this amazing encounter with God, one of the few people in Scripture that had a face-to-face direct encounter with God. Have you ever thought about how you would respond if you had one of those? It's a dangerous prayer to pray, God, let me see you. I try not to pray that one. It's a dangerous thing to pray, God, let me hear you. Because you know what? You might. Now what are you going to do? It's a dangerous thing to start to seek God. Please, C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, where he depicts God as a lion called Aslan, and the people are talking about Aslan before Aslan has entered back into Narnia, and the question is asked over the beaver's breakfast table, is he a tame lion? And the answer is, tame lion? Aslan? Oh, he's not a tame lion. And I guess in the same way C.S. Lewis is answering the question, is God safe? Safe? No way. You give your life to God, you just don't know what's going to happen. Safe? Oh, man. God is scary. You ever met God? You ever just had the brush of his presence and you're just aware that you've just encountered God? Man, you don't mess with this guy. He is a law-giving God. But that's not the whole picture, praise God. He's a God of grace. And the truth is, he loves us. Now, Moses didn't know half of that, perhaps. So we have this experience, and here's the questions I want to ask, and hopefully we can answer from this passage. And I really want to show you that some people think God was really mean and nasty in the Old Testament. He kind of like as soon as slapped people with the back of his hand and ordered them to be stoned to death and wipe them out. I hate them all. Just go in there and hack them and massacre them and blah, blah. And then Jesus came along and he changed his mind. And he became more nice. I want to show you, firstly, if you think that's what God was like, as the Fonz would say, you're wrong. That's not ever what God was like. Not ever was God like that. But Pastor, I read in the Bible where a bloke was picking up sticks on the Sabbath and God said, stone him to death. Oh, yeah, no, hey, I didn't say he's not serious about obedience. I didn't say that. He's really serious about obedience. And guess what? He still is. He hasn't changed about that. But you know, you'll find also in the Old Testament stacks and stacks and stacks of examples where he reveals his grace before the cross. Let's have a look at one of them right here. You see, what is God like? We know the story that Moses in Exodus chapter 3, we're picking up at verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now, right there's a clue as to what it must be like to come into the presence of God. Moses was afraid. Now listen, verse 7, listen to this. "Then the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings.'" Here's the question. Based on that verse, if you're on a deserted island and a Bible was blown apart in a million pieces in the propeller of the plane that went down as they're about to shoot the miniseries, and all you had was that verse, what would that tell you about God? What would that tell you? "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and heard their cry because of their taskmaster. I know their sufferings." What would that tell you about God? That would tell me that he's a caring God. That would tell me that he feels pain. That would tell me that God knows what people are going through. That would tell me that when people are crying out to God, "God, how long are you just going to stand there and do nothing?" that God is never standing there and doing nothing. He cares. He cares. When you look at the last couple of verses of Exodus chapter 2, it says something similar. "And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." What did God know? God knew what they were going through. And guess what? God sees you. He sees everything you're going through. He sees your tears. He sees the pain. He sees the questions. He sees your frustration. He sees the things that no one else sees. He feels what you're feeling. He's still the same God. And he knows. He knows what you're feeling. We go on and we read verse 8, and this is profound. "I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites and the Mozibites." Hang on, sorry, the last one's not there. If I was Moses, I'd be going, "Oh, that's cool. That is so cool." Because I tried to do that 40 years ago. And man, I botched it up really big time. Oh, what a relief to know that you're personally going to come down and deliver them. Oh, praise God. That's great, God. Cool. That's what I'd be thinking right at this point. I'd be thinking, I'd like to see that. Oh boy, you could do some stuff, couldn't you, God? I'd like to see that. Let's keep reading. I want you to notice this. God says he's going to do it. Now let's keep reading. Some of you are. Come back a bit. "And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come up to me." That tells me a lot about God. "And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." Oh, now look at verse 10. My heart would sink if I was Moses, if I heard God say this. Verse 10. "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." I'd be thinking right there, I'd be thinking, hang on. You just said you were going to do it. Can you see something about God here? He says, "I'm going to do something in the earth. And I'm going to use you to do it. And when you do it, it was me who did it." Now, how is that fair? It's not. Man, he's talking to Moses like he's God or someone. And I think God can speak to us like that too. "I'm going to do something in your community. Now go and do what I want you to do." Talk to me like you're God. Well, He does, he can, and he did. And this is an awesome thing that we see about God. When God wants to do something in the earth, he chooses a person to do it through. I'm going to deliver Israel out of Egypt. Now go and deliver Israel out of Egypt. How is God going to save the world? Through his people. How is God going to do what he wants to do in these days? Through his people. What do we learn about God? What is God like? God is incredible in his compassion for people. God is incredible that he can hear the cries of people's hearts. God can see what's going on in people's lives. God knows what you're going through. And God may want to use you to express his compassion, his love and his care for someone else. That's an awesome thought. And Moses encountered that. What is God like? Well, it goes on. And here's Moses, verse 11. Moses pretty much says what I would say. And that's kind of like, what, who, me? That's the essence of verse 11. So verse 12, we pick it up with God's reply. I've got this highlighted in orange, by the way, which I recommend you do, because this is a powerful thought. What do we know about God based on this? Have a look at this. But I will be with you. If you knew, let me ask you this question. If you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that from this point on, the moment you leave this place, God would be with you in everything you did, what would you do different? I just had a thought that some of you would do something nasty to someone. The thought is that someone's missing the point here, if that was you. What would you do? What would you see in God's word that, boy, I wish God would do this today. I wish God would heal the sick today. You ever had that thought? I wish God would heal the sick today. Guess what God wants to do through you? Heal the sick. Oh, man, I wish God would teach these ignorant people. Well, guess what God wants to do through you? And so on. This is what we learn about God. And this shall be a sign for you that I've sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now I want to quickly move down. Verse 13. Then Moses said to God, but if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Now Moses is asking the question, man, I'd want to know this too. I'd want to have this question answered, because I've come out of, you know, Egypt where there's like a gazillion gods. Well, in fact, there wasn't a gazillion gods. There was actually nine of them. Or seven actually. Seven major gods in Egypt. And now there's a God talking to Moses, and Moses going, well, which one are you? Who are you? And this is the answer. God said to Moses, verse 14, I am who I am. Other translations render that as I am. It's a mysterious word in the Hebrew language. The best translators can come up with is a bunch of letters that looks like YHWH. I am. And when you fill in YHWH with a couple of vowels, you get the sound Yahweh. I am. I am who I was. I will be who I am. I am what I will be. I will be what I was. I am. That's what God said to Moses, and he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Wow. I am. Now here's the interesting thing. I just want to leave it there, because I've already given you my conclusion. My conclusion is that Jesus Christ is the great I am. When Jesus was asked in John 8 by the Pharisees, just who do you think you are? Jesus said, I am. And at that, it says in John 8, they picked up rocks to stone him to death for blasphemy, because he, being a man, made himself out to be God. Jesus thought he was God. And that's what he said. You really want to know God? Read about Jesus. Meet with Jesus. Discover Jesus. You'll find a Jesus that knows exactly what you're going through, especially over the last few days. He knows exactly what you've been going through. He sees, he hears, he knows. This is the God that Moses discovered. One beautiful thing happened to Moses from this point, and I just make this as a kind of a bonus comment, that Moses was not just a changed man from this point. He was a converted man. And when he stood before Pharaoh, he spoke of a God that he knew. When he stood before Pharaoh, he called God our God. Our God. It's contrasted with David and Saul. David knew God as his God, and King Saul, on three or four different occasions, referred to God as, when he spoke to Samuel, as your God. The Bible says that Saul was changed. He was never converted. He never really surrendered his life to Christ. And this is the final challenge. Once you come to know who God is, you'll realize that he wants you. And he wants you to surrender. And you can do that because he's a good God. A God who knows and feels what you're going through. Let's pray. Father, help us to be a people who know you. Help us to be a people who reflect you. Help us to be a people who can be the answer to the prayer that we pray. Help us to be a people that can make you known to the people of our valley and our community. Now, Lord, I pray, stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders and confirm your word right now. Lord, heal the sick, still the mind of the confused, and speak to those who are looking for answers right now, I pray, as an act of your grace. In Jesus' name. Now, if you know that you're not right with God, just while we're in this attitude of prayer, and you know that you need to be right with God, can I encourage you to pray this prayer? In fact, if I could scream it from the rooftops, I'd want to encourage you to pray this prayer. And it goes something like this. And if you can pray it from your heart, I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. God, please accept me. Please forgive me. I want to know you. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
What's God like? If you're seeking a revelation of God, look at Jesus. The results will be life-changing. Dr. Corbett continues his look at Moses next week, and we hope you can join us again. You can purchase a CD copy of tonight's program for $5.50, including postage and handling. Finding Truth Matters resources, including podcasts, are available from the website www.findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting Lagana Media at PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Just quote the program title, Moses, Part 4. If you'd like to subscribe to Finding Truth Matters monthly e-newsletter Perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. Finding Truth Matters is produced by Lagana Media, and we look forward to joining you at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.